Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
The checkered flag ends the race, but not the race talk. Have your say. Ask the experts. Make your point. Post-race tech. The end of the race is only the beginning.
Wow, wow, wow. How many times have I had to say this as we start Michelin Post Race Tech? Hashtag Michelin PRT. We're exclusively now on RS2. Thank you very much indeed for all your questions already. Let's quickly have a word with Johnny Edgar out of the Sean Creech Motorsport Leisure, who won the BDO Nose Strategy Award. Nick Damon.
Johnny, we've awarded your team the BDO Nose Strategy Award because, frankly, the Ligier in fourth place against the might of the Orica OSM, a fantastic performance by all the team.
Yeah, the team did an amazing job all race. We lost two laps pretty early on, I'd say, and then just with good strategy, we managed to get them back. And then, yeah, going into the last hour on the lead lap, which is what we were hoping for. And then, yeah, the last stint, the pace was a lot better than the rest of the race. I think the car was really good in the night, which is, yeah, where you want it to be good to finish. So, yeah, I was a bit surprised with the pace compared to the Oricas at the end, because I think it's definitely the best it's been the whole time we've had the car, so that's really positive. And yeah, we've still got a lot to learn. It's only the second race weekend with the car.
Well, after Daytona, this fourth place must feel like a win, surely?
Yeah, it's a massive surprise. And to be honest, I was just hoping to get to the finish with a clean race. So yeah, to end up in the top five is amazing. And yeah, everyone in the team did a great job.
Congratulations, well done.
Thanks.
Well, they're getting used to these victory shots, and Connor Zilich bringing the number 18 Aero Motorsport LMP2 to the checkered flag. This was his first time doing that, but it's still a pretty exhilarating thing. And Connor, driving at Sebring at night is a different track, but driving it when it's in the middle of the race and it's for the win, how amazing was that stint for you?
Completely unbelievable. I mean, you know, that was the longest 24 minutes of my life, and you know, just an incredible job from the entire Air Motorsports team. You know, when I came out of the pits in the lead, you know, on that last caution, I literally asked them. I said, "Are we really in the lead? Like, there's no way we're in the lead." And sure as heck we were. And I, you know, I was doing my best to save fuel prior to that, and it paid off for us. So you know, just so proud of this entire team. It takes an army to, you know, come to these races and go 2-for-2 and to start the year. So just blessed to be here, and you know, hopefully we can keep it up throughout the rest of the year.
How much are you already counting down to Watkins Glen now?
Oh, I'm ready. I've been counting down to every race. I mean, these are so cool and so much fun for me. So different to anything I've ever done, and you know, that's what makes me enjoy it. It's such a challenge. So you know, just gonna soak this one in. But you know, Watkins Glen is next, and we got more work to do.
Congrats, Connor.
Thank you.
With Davide Rigon, second place in the 62 recent competition. But Davide, I want to take you back to the first 30 seconds of the race. What happened?
I got a big hit from the 64, my big hit. I said my car is destroyed, and yeah, I was very, very lucky, honestly, because I spun in the middle of the field, so I don't know how many car overtake me, so I'm very glad that nothing happened there. And then the car was fine. It was fine, that was the big surprise. And then our pace was good, but it was a long race to start from the back, then we had a drive through, so it was was a tough race, but we completed in an amazing way with Daniel leading last 20 minutes, and he did an amazing job, him and James as well. So we really did a super job, but it's like the race are like this. Sometimes we win, sometimes P2 is okay.
Yeah, it was a superb battle with the legs, wasn't it? But you know, quite an aggressive overtake at the end.
Yeah, no, he was good. You know, Daniel just told us that he had an issue with the GTD, the other category, that fight with us, and we lost the position because of the GTD. I think the car 70 McLaren. But yeah, the Lexus did an amazing move, and the race went like this. Anyway, one more lap, we could have won.
Well done. Thanks, Davide.
Thank you.
Once again, very, very classy.
That's, yeah, good to hear.
Yeah, great. I like to hear that. Look, he said we'll take second. Let's see if we can get some Lexus off the back of that. Shea Adam is looking at Jack Horsworth and Kyle Kirkwood.
Yeah, and it's a big party down here because now that Jack has finally arrived with the car, they've gotten out and they've finally been able to enjoy this as a trio, which they were having a little bit of fun as a duo. And I want a quick word with Kyle because Kyle was great at directing things. Don't run away. You were the one who was telling Ben he needed to come over for the interview, but now you've won yet another endurance race with this crew. What is it about the three of you that just works together well?
I mean, I'm just so proud of this team right now. I mean, they absolutely executed at the time that it needed to be done. And pit stops were flawless, drives were flawless, fuel saving was flawless, car was flawless. Every adjustment that we made inside the race was flawless. Like, you couldn't ask for anything better than what we just did there. We might have not had the fastest car today, but we definitely had the best team, and that's it showed today, and we just won the race. I mean, I couldn't be more proud than these two right here standing next to me. You got Ben and Jack standing right here. They absolutely sent it. If you saw Jack's pass there at the end, it was absolutely insane. That will go down in history for sure at the 12 hours. So I'm so proud of these guys right now.
Well, and Jack, talk us through how badly you wanted this win and how desperate you were to get that pass done.
Honestly, I just watched these two kill it all day, right? And the team had been awesome. Everything, such a team effort. And then after everything that happened at Daytona, when you have a chance to win one of these big races and it's there in front of you. I said at the beginning of the day, I'd be happy if we were on the box. But God, when I win that last 30 minutes, I don't want to be on the box. I want to be on top of the box. So just an amazing team effort. I love going racing with this team. I love going racing with Ben and Kyle. Amazing day, probably one of the most proud days of my career, and I'm just mentally exhausted, but we're back in the championship. We just won the Sebring 12 hours, so cannot wait for the next one.
Feels a little like it was meant to be. Nick is down with Antonio Fuoco.
Antonio, second place for Cesolara after all the problems you had. That must feel like a win.
This one was like a win for sure, because we were nowhere, and at the end with the triple stint we come back. And I think today was the maximum we can get, finish P2, and we did really our best of the team, and I think we should be happy of our result today.
It looked pretty wild out there for the last couple of hours, with the cars going off, there was debris everywhere. How difficult was it just to keep the car pointing in the right direction and getting past people?
Honestly, we knew already, starting with the hot condition was a bit hard for us, and then we know that the balance was coming to us to the end of the race. We work on this during the free practice. And at the end, as you said, there was many debris around the track, so we needed really to pay attention on everything. And at the end, I think was a funny one.
Fantastic result. Thank you, Antonio Fuoco from the Cesolara Racing Ferrari, second in GTD.
Hi, Elliot Skier. When we were talking about this being your first 12 hours of Sebring, if I'd offered you a podium at the end of that one, would you have taken it?
Are you kidding me? If you just offered me the final stint, I would have like taken it with nerves, that's for sure. No, what an incredible feeling this is. You know, it's, as I was saying, to do this race, which is outside of Le Mans my favorite, to do it with my favorite team in a Porsche 911 alongside Adam and Jan and with the entire Wright Motorsport crew, that alone is cool. Then to do the finish is another thing, and then to be in the fight for the win at the end is truly an unbelievable feeling. So that's 20 years worth of work paying off over a 40-minute stint. So definitely an emotional in-lap, to say the least. Just incredibly proud of the entire team. And, you know, the biggest thing for me is, you know, the trophy alongside of it is the proof to myself that I can do it. So now it's really game on, because I know that I've done it and I can be there. So really look forward to everything to come, but this is a very, very special moment.
I want to ask you really quickly about your camera and how you've got that old school camera to try and capture all the moments. When you were able to get photos of your best friend, Adam, getting out of the car after his first Sebring stint, how did that make you feel?
Yeah, it's capturing emotions that are so fleeting in this sport. And we all go through some unbelievable ups and downs in it. But at the end of the day, as John Wright says, they all start to blend together. So, you know, whether it's a diary, a journal, some way to capture it really helps keep it all together. So, you know, these are the sort of things that I'm going to look back on in 30 years and be like, wow, this was incredible. And I couldn't think of a better way to do it. Using my dad and grandpa's old cameras and having some fun with it. Yeah, it's just what an absolutely incredible feeling and just a truly special day in my life.
That's the emotion of why we go racing.
Elliot Skier with Shea Adam. Nick Damon still down there. We'll keep those guys plugged in and they can jump in on any of the convos, the conversations that we have. Jeremy Shaw, some thoughts on what you've heard from those drivers. Very refreshing to hear so much positivity, even from people who perhaps didn't get the results that they wanted.
Yeah, classy, just superb, tremendous. That's what it's all about. I mean, there's no, you don't hold any grudges in this sport. You know what comes around goes around. You you might be one day you're the bug, next day you're the windshield. And that's super to hear those really positive comments from drivers. They got beaten today, but they took it with grace. That's wonderful to see. Also great, Elliot Skier, he really is a tremendous story. I mean, it's been 12, 13 years since he won the Mazda Shootout back in 2011. He was second in the MX-5 Cup, won the GT3 Cup Porsche Championship, of course, here in IMSA in 2015. And you know, he's had a few tough years, but he hooked up with Adam Adelson, who's given him this wonderful opportunity. And Adam, with Elliot as his coach, he's come along so far. He was a really good first long stint for Adam Adelson. Thrilled for that team to come home here with a podium finish at Sebring.
Let's go to Nick, who has Louis Delatraz.
Louis enjoying a beer at the moment, actually. There's a lot of beer has been distributed by the Sebring team.
Is it Yingling by any chance?
Not for me at the moment. Let's grab a quick word with Louis. Congratulations to all your teammates for saying you won that race with that overtaking movement. It's all about you.
It's not all about me. I mean, they did all fantastic today. We did have a few hiccups in the pits, but the team never gave up. They operated perfectly the last 6 hours. And I mean, Colton and Jordan gave me the car in the top three, actually close to the lead. And I mean, I was fast and I never went inside. It was clear I want to win. So it was a really hard fight with Seb, but in the end it was fair. We could both have ended in the wall, but it was respect. And I mean, I'm super happy we won, and I look forward to seeing Seb and telling him congrats.
So was that an instinctive move, or had you kind of planned it a couple laps beforehand?
Well, to be honest, you know, I've been much quicker for a few laps, and I could see I braked much later in turn seven all the time, but he was defending really well, and those cars are wide. At night, you don't see so well, and I just saw a gap. I said, look, if I don't try, I'm not a racing driver anymore, so I wanted that win bad for us and for the team.
Great, well done.
Thank you.
Wayne Taylor, I've got we've spoken, there were problems with the 10, but it doesn't really matter because you've won with the 40.
What's that?
The last time we spoke, there were some problems with the 10, but you've won with the 40, and it's a great comeback from the disappointment in Daytona.
Yeah, it really was. You know, Daytona was the first round of our two-car program, and unfortunately, you know, the BOP didn't suit us there at all. And thanks to IMSA and to all the manufacturers for getting together and getting this thing back on track where everybody had a chance. And it's really important because you really don't have the passion or the enthusiasm to go if you don't have a chance to win. And thankfully everybody came together and you saw the race. I mean, everybody was almost the same. And it was a really hard race. We thought the 10 car was going to get it. They did it. The 10 car was really good. But then in the end, it turned out to be the 40 car. And the 40 car is having a great year. They finished third at Daytona. The 10 car went out. 10 car finished fifth today. So a little bit of points, but I'm just ecstatic.
And great to have two cars and have that happen.
I said this to HRC 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I said, listen, if you want me to carry on like this, I've got to have two cars because you can't take on the might of Penske and Ganassi if you don't have two cars. And we just proved that.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
Great stuff from Shay and Nick. I want to pick up on something, Jeremy, that Wayne Taylor said there. And there will always be people, and you know, we know this, that will look and say, oh, BOP this, BOP that, from the outside. He made the point there. Everybody pretty much had a chance today. Oh. The differences in the fastest lap times were infinitesimal. Yeah. And how many different cars led today?
Four of the five manufacturers led in GTP.
So only Lamborghini didn't lead.
Yeah, exactly.
And they didn't expect to lead.
No, they didn't expect to lead, but they had a good race. And you know, all their best lap was a 50.1, which was actually quicker than the BMW. One of the BMWs quicker than several of the Porsches. I mean, it was a really strong race. Look, the top four in the end, Acura, Cadillac, Porsche, BMW. It about says it all, doesn't it? And they were covered by 10 seconds or so. The top two were the class of the field towards the end. I think the Porsches definitely were struggling a little bit.
Yes.
Today. So I think
they
was
were
a
off
good
and on
result
though as well, weren't they? Because that was what you know. Those shorter stints. I thought that there was a part in the middle of the race, actually, in the heat of the day, around about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I thought, oh hello, Porsches are starting to come alive here, and then they dropped off again and started doing those shorter stints. And I kind of don't understand that at all.
No, I think yeah, the race came back to them. I think they were fortunate there. But look, it was a great result for them, to come away with third position here. They should be absolutely thrilled with that because I don't think they have the third place car.
Let's have a quick word with our two pit lane reporters still down there for our CrowdStrike reporting team. Shea Adam, first of all, you can still, you can still hear me. Excellent. Quick thought about, first of all, about Lamborghini. They came here very much looking just to learn. I know there was plenty of full course yellows, but they end up on the lead lap. They were at times very competitive. Their fastest lap of the race, a 150.1, was the same as the car that came second, by the way, and faster than the car that came third and the BMW that came fifth. I think they'll go away, this team, and it's not the same team that are running the cars exactly, not the same personnel that are running the cars in the WEC, car in the WEC. I think they'll come away from this race thinking, do you know what, we've done all right, don't you?
I think they will be over the moon to have survived 12 hours of Sebring, keyword being Sebring. The car did finish. They were not a non-finisher when there were other cars from other manufacturers that didn't.
They were never a make-weight.
They were, no. And the performance that we saw, the capability and the expectation level, I believe, for that car has just gone through the roof because it didn't struggle in the ways that other people perhaps expected it to. But also, remember when the GTP cars first came on the scene and all the naysayers were saying that Daytona was going to be a yellow fest and then it wasn't, and then, oh, well, Sebring's going to be a yellow fest and then it wasn't. We never saw those reliability issues that everybody was thinking were going to manifest. They didn't. Is this just the new era of car that they're built to a better standard?
And yeah, it's a very good point, actually. Nick Damon, Porsche third, sort of spares their blushes because there was times when, as Jeremy said, that they just didn't look like they were in the same race. And that it's Porsche Penske Motorsport, you'd kind of expect that. With a little bit of luck and a fair wind, they might well have been beaten by JDC if they hadn't had that driveshaft problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, Porsche won at Daytona and they won in Qatar as well, but it appears that the heat and humidity of Sebring has completely defeated them because it was self-evident, certainly with the works cars, that they were getting through their rear tyres too quickly.
Yeah.
And you know, with a limited number of sets, that's a disadvantage straight off. And then, of course, if you're running a full stint at the end or the penultimate stint, you are going to still have less grip, even having only done 45 minutes on the tyres than the other car. So I think they need to go away and have a think, and they need to go away and work out what they can do with steering geometry. Perhaps they need to go and talk to Haas, because Haas sorted their problem out. So they have a word with Haas, say, how did you sort out your chewing your rear tyres up, and follow the same advice.
One of the things we know about that Porsche 963, that it is very, very pitch sensitive, and the lower that you can run it, the better. You can't run cars low around here, Jeremy. That's a real issue. Quick word about BMW. I'm not going to say they've turned the corner, but I think they'll be happier today as well. They've been struggling to unlock speed and performance from that BMW M Hybrid V8. They got hit with a reliability issue at Daytona that they thought they were through their reliability issues in the first year, and that they could start to now tune the systems. I don't know if Sebring is such an outlier that that doesn't matter, but they've come away with a fourth and a sixth, and at times they looked even better than that.
They did look better than that, didn't they? I think it was a really strong race for that entire team. So, yeah, it definitely a step forward from Daytona. And again, as Nick was just, or Shay was just saying, this is the 12 hours of Sebring. Sebring is a car breaker. If you can get through here with both cars to the finish and both running strongly without any major problems, that's a win in itself.
Cadillac will think, what if? If Felipe, if people had stayed in the race, that car looked really strong. Yeah. Both Cadillacs looked great over the bumps, particularly the 31. Fortunately, people. It is fine as far as we're aware, and the car, well, that can be sorted out. The second place for Sebastian Bourdais, that car didn't quite have the poise of the 31 car. And I can't quite put my finger on why not.
No, quite. There'll be some bit of a head scratching going on there at the Cadillac Racing Ganassi team, I think, because he seemed to be able to get out of the blocks really fast, but then whether it was a question of sort of kind of pushing too hard on the tyres each time and then they would lose a bit of their effectiveness, or whether that could have been managed better, I mean, I don't know. I doubt it.
No.
But certainly, Bourdais was able to come out of the blocks on each of the restarts really quickly, but then the others caught him up.
A quick word about the other classes, and I'm aware that it's late and we want to let our crew in London and Christine here start packing up. But I think we've got to talk about LMP2. Nick, LMP2, when we've seen it in the World Endurance Championship at Le Mans, it's exactly what we got today. Everybody's got the same engine, therefore things sort of even out and it becomes a battle of teams. And it certainly did. It became a battle of wills today at the front of the field. But ERA TDS United, Sean Creech with the Ligier, fantastic. Inter Europol were there, Riley were there, even High Class were there, and CrowdStrike and the second United car and Dragon Speed, they were all there. 13 cars and 10 of them probably was at the sharp end of the field at some stage.
Yeah, and I think that is the glory of P2. They are, with the exception of the fantastic form by Sean Creech, they are so well-developed cars now that they do hit the ground pretty much even. And the differentiating factors are drivers, and that's not as differentiating as it was. It is set-up, and it's luck. And, you know, you need a bit of luck. But I think if you look at the team that actually won, you've got, you know, the thing you need, you've got a very solid bronze driver. You've got a fantastic driver in Ryan DL who can just turn out hours and hours and hours of solid, fast, safe laps. And then you've got a young charger who can bring the thing home in the end. It's obviously destined for much greater things in Conor Zilic. I mean, he's going to the top in sports car racing and probably very, very soon. But
if he doesn't get nicked by NASCAR, because he's already on the GM scholarship in NASCAR.
Oh, he must want to turn right, surely.
Yeah.
Then again, you look at some of the other teams. You know, I was really impressed with Euro Interpol. Sorry, I thought they did brilliant. Tom Dillon, who drives, also he's very pivotal in running the strategy. He doesn't, you know, when he's not in the car, he's on the wall or on the stand, and he's really working hard with Kubiszewski and Nick Boole, and that, they were a really impressive team as well. And then United Autosport, bit of bad luck with the two, and then of course they nicked a podium with the 22. So yeah, you turn up and you're right. The 10 cars led. And realistically, if anyone had actually won, he wouldn't have moaned.
No, not at all. Not at all. GTD Pro Shit, Vasser Sullivan. If you look at the result, you'll say, well, of course, they qualified on pole and then they go on to win. But my goodness, they had to work for that. Reese doing Reese things. They could have easily won that race. Iron Lynx stealthed up into third place with that 19 car. We had Harter Racing up and down through there. The second Iron Lynx car, they had penalties. Our Porsche keys to the race, be tidy. Nobody was tidy in GTD Pro. They were all messy.
No, I mean, look at how the final top five were ultimately decided. I mean, Corvette got knocked off the track. Rexy wound up getting a drive-through podium. That's how we wound up with the Iron Lynx car on the podium. Earlier in the race, we had a missed opportunity of the pass around from Paul Miller Racing, which ultimately took them out of contention.
Good point.
I mean, there was so much messiness. So it was really uncharacteristic as far as that's concerned. But credit also for Reese, Rick Mayer, doing Rick Mayer things and getting them back up into contention. Two races in a row. It means we're going to go into the next round for GTD Pro, which won't be until WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, our championship leader, not on the ground, because Reese Competizione Ferrari only doing the endurance races. So that'll be the first for a little while, too.
Yeah. Finish up with GTD, Jeremy, from back to front. Could they had the pace today? Russell Ward said to me on Tuesday evening, we want to win. And I said, class win. He said, we think we can win overall. Now, they got separated from the rest of GT Pros on a wave by. You cannot deny that they put a pretty well-sorted race together. Phil Ellis did his job. I thought Russell, with his long stint in the middle, did a cracking job. That's as good as I've seen him drive for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a brilliant drive by Russell Ward and that entire team to come from the back. Yeah, they knew they had a fast car. They proved it yesterday. I mean, the penalty they got was not indicative of the pace. It wasn't a performance-enhancing modification they had on the car. So they were always going to be in contention. I mean, they played the strategy, as they always do, really, really well. And that was a well-deserved victory. You know, two in a row for that team now to start off this season. So you can't ask for any more than that. And again, all these cars in GTD seem to be really, really closely matched. You know, the Ferrari set the 62 car, despite it being punted off at the first corner, set the fastest lap of the race of all the GT cars, fractionally, but the rest of them are really close to match. So tell you who else you'd be pleased with the run today is Ford, the Multimatic team, because they were running up towards the sharp end most of the way through that race. They finished only 7th and 8th, but they were much better than that for the vast majority of the race. I think that's probably about where they expected to finish, but for me, they ran a lot better through many portions of the race than I think anybody anticipated.
Jeremy Shaw, thank you very much indeed. Thank you for all your questions. I've tried to incorporate some of them in the answer that we've given. It is a third different race, style of race, because we're on the streets next. Before that, and we go to the shorter races, let's wrap up the MEC points at the end of the race, Jeremy.
Yeah, so in GTP, Wheel and Engineering will have 24 points, despite the DNF today. They will lead going into the third round, which will be at Watkins Glen in June. Porsche Penske Motorsports number 7 on 23, so 1 point advantage there. And the manufacturers, Cadillac and Porsche, tied on 29, well clear of Acura in third. In LMP2, Era Motorsport car number 18, despite winning both of the races, will be tied on 24 points with Inter-Europol with PR1 Matheson Motorsports. 24 points apiece to the 23 of CrowdStrike Racing by APR, the number 04 car, which had difficulties today. So just 1 point covering the top three. In GTD Pro, the number 26 Paul Miller Racing team will continue to lead the point standings in the MEC by 2 over Rizzi Competizione. And in the manufacturers, of course, Ferrari and BMW both got no points from Daytona. We're not going to go into that now. So Chevrolet Corvette,
listen to last week's
has a handy lead. They got 22 points to the 19 of Porsche and the 17 of Lexus. And finally in GTD, 24 points for Windward Racing, no surprise there, that's having won both of the races, but they're only 2 points ahead still of Inception Racing on 22, and then on 20 in third position. Again, good consistent scoring there for Trialzi Competizione in the 0-23. And the manufacturers, a clear lead now for Mercedes, having won both the races, 30 points to the 22 of McLaren.
Jeremy, awesome stuff. I know you've enjoyed it because I've been watching you for the last 12 hours. It's been absolutely outstanding. Thanks to Rob, to Curry, to Hugh and to Tim back in London. So the 36 hours of Florida is over and we move from the two longest races of the season to the shortest. A 100-minute harum scarum dash on the streets of Long Beach. Hopefully you can join us for that. And for Midweek Motorsport on Wednesday, thank you to all of our technical team from NASCAR Productions at Concord and here at the track, and particularly to Christine, who's made sure that everything has worked here in our booth. To the responsible adults, as ever, our great thanks. I'm John Hindhoff. Join us on Midweek Motorsport on Wednesday. We'll have the CrowdStrike Team Endurance and Speed Award as well to be announced then. Make sure you join us from 8 o'clock UK. That's still 4 o'clock Eastern. From Sebring, a very good night. Bye-bye.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.